Chapter 6.
It
is great to hear you guys tonight. And Patrick and I are really excited to share about how God wants to train us to lead others to know him. And we need to save this great city, family. You know, I mean, here we are. We're not even South African, and we're fired up to save this city. I pray that you are fired up to save this city. Are you with me here? Sometimes familiarity can lead to contempt. Are you with me here? And I pray you haven't gotten so familiar with South Africa that you don't appreciate how special it is. Having been in Nigeria, trust me, South Africa is awesome. All right? Amen. And so we need to save this great city for God's glory. And it starts when we accept the responsibility to serve God as his leaders. Take a look here in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, verse 5. The prophet Isaiah here is basically in the presence of the Lord. And it says here, verse 5, "Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like, man, sometimes you're like, gosh, I am surrounded by wickedness. I am surrounded by dereliction. I'm surrounded by people cursing, totally impure, immoral. I mean, sometimes you feel like it might even start to ruin you, right? But you have to remember that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, right? You have been united with the Lord. You have his spirit within you. Verse 6, it says, "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" Kind of like when we get baptized, amen? We get united with the blood of Jesus, amen, and our sin is atoned for. Verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send someone else.'" No, that's not what it says.
Amen.
It says, "Here am I, what?
Send
me." Is that our hearts tonight? Do you really consider yourself a servant leader in God's people? You know, the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, and the workers are you. And me, amen? And so are you really available to be used by God to save a lost world? You know, by the grace of God, Patrick and I have been used by him to convert all types of people through the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And if God can use us, if God can use me, right, a guy who was completely wicked and simple and immoral, to be able to go on and convert fraternity presidents and denominational pastors, then guess what? He can use you. Are you with me? But in the same way, just like how we're not born disciples, we're not born leaders. And leadership in the kingdom is not like leadership in the world.
Amen.
It's not just about achieving goals or achieving results. Because you can actually achieve or accomplish all your goals and not be successful in God's kingdom.
Wow.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
The key to spiritual leadership is achieving God's purposes. And our goal really has to get people from their agenda onto God's agenda.
Yeah.
Are you with me? That's the task of a spiritual leader through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we know, by following Jesus, we've been made into disciples, been made into workers, been made into teachers. Hebrews 5:12. And tonight, we're going to see that we're also made into watchmen.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's take a look over in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. The title of the lesson tonight, Made Into a Watchman. And this is something that, for us, I think is huge because, you know, we understand we've been made into disciples. Amen. Matthew 28. We understand we've been made into workers, Luke 10, right? Made into teachers. But do you really believe you're a watchman? Do you believe you are a watchman? Ezekiel chapter 3. While you're turning there, you know, the definition in the Greek for watch, it means to be awake, to be alert, to be vigilant. Are you awake? See, if you're not awake, if you're not alert, if you're not vigilant, you can't be a watchman used by God, right? Let's take a look here in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The Bible reads, "At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, I have made you what?'" Are you there yet? I'll wait for you. Ezekiel 3, come on. This is the title of the lesson, so you got to read this one. All right? Verse 16. It says, "At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me and said, 'Son of man, I have made you
a
watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Wow. So what do we see here? To be a watchman is also to warn people. It's not just to watch, but you have to be able to warn. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Now, why is this important? Because we're talking about in verse 18, he says to the wicked man. Well, let's be honest. Before we became disciples, what are we?
Wicked.
We're wicked. So anyone who's coming into the church, anyone who's studying the Bible, guess what? They're wicked, right? And so the goal here is that we've got to warn them. That's why we use the Bible studies. To call them to repentance. And if you don't call people to repentance over the course of the studies, then guess what? You're not being a watchman. Because you're going to let a wolf into God's house. Are you with me right here? But then it goes on. It says, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness. Wow, so that means once a disciple, not always a disciple. Again, when a righteous man, a righteous woman turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. And that's the sad thing. A lot of people who actually become disciples fall away because of some stumbling block. And for us as disciples, you got to figure out, well, what is the stumbling block Satan could use for you? Is it being hurt by someone in the church? Is it not getting something you wanted? What is the stumbling block for you that could literally make you fall away? Since you did not warn him, that means that someone's in the church, but you're not warning them. You're not discipling them. He will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took the warning, and you will have saved yourself. So what do we see here? If we as disciples are not warning those who are trying to come in the church, and also warning and watching those within the church, right? Then we will be held responsible.
Yeah.
Do you see that everyone truly has to be a watchman?
Yeah.
If we're not discipling each other, guys, if we're not looking out for each other, watching each other, warning each other, then guess what? The Bible says here, the righteous things that others do will not be remembered, and we will be held accountable.
Wow.
A lack of discipling is on us.
Wow.
It is sin. Are you with me here? So if you see something, say something, amen? And so now the question is, moving forward, how do we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the Bible says here, we're called to watch, we're called to warn. Who wants to hire a blind watchman?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me here? This is the year of vision, 2020, right? And so we see here, we're called by God to make sure we don't let wolves enter the church of sheep. And we got to make sure we as sheep don't turn back into wolves.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
It can happen. Are you with me here? So how are we, who is called to lead for God in this capacity? Now turn and look over in Exodus 18. Patrick is going to give us some practicals in just a little bit about some key qualifications that are necessary to be used by God. But let's take a look first in Exodus 18. Exodus 18, starting in verse 13. This scripture really is the foundational scripture of why we have small groups in the church. And why we don't believe in just assembly religion.
Amen.
A lot of people, they just come to church, they come, they listen, and they leave. But if you don't have small groups within the church, those building blocks within the church, things will just fall through the cracks and no one will really get disciples. Wolves will come in and there'll be no one to watch or warn. People will turn back into wolves. It's like Blade, you know, we're like, you know how Blade kind of turned back. And if he doesn't take that injection, it's over, right? Okay, moving on. Exodus, you guys know, I'm not sure if you guys have seen the movie Blade, but you would understand if you did. Exodus 18, the Bible says here, starting in verse 13. It says, the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. Can you imagine? Can you imagine sitting? You just get a chair, right? And from morning till evening, hundreds of people come to you. Well, he said he was supposed to return my money. And I said, you're going to return it by this date. And he didn't return it by that date. And can you just imagine dealing with discipling issues all day long? Verse 14. When his father-in-law, now I wonder why his father-in-law is the one who came to him. Probably because he was neglecting his wife. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for all the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and those people, these people who come to you, will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you.
Amen.
You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Wow, so he needs to be a prayer warrior right there. Teach them the decrees and laws. Show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. So you're supposed to teach. You're supposed to show people how to live. Be an example, right? And be a man and woman of prayer. Verse 21. But select capable men and women, sisters.
Woo!
From all the people, men who fear God. Trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain. And appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Well, there's the Bible talk, family. There's the Bible talk right there. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple ones, they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. So what's the purpose behind having these small groups is to make sure we meet the needs of all the people.
Amen.
Otherwise, it'll be stressful for one person to handle it by themselves. Yeah. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Verse 24, Moses said, man, who are you? Who are you, not a leader? Is that what he says? Is that what he says? It says, welcome, bro. It says Moses listened to his father-in-law. Sometimes you don't want to listen to your father-in-law or mother-in-law, whatever. He says, Moses, let's be honest, right? You know, sometimes father-in-law and mother-in-law are like, oh, boy. But Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth, amen? And he knew when he needed to listen. And he says, he listened to his father-in-law and did what? Everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel, made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Wow, let's stop here. Guys, isn't it encouraging? You know, I look at this passage and I realize that Moses wanted to help everyone, but the truth is you can't do it alone. That's why we are a mission team. You can't do this alone. There's no way we could save the city on our own. Amen? But imagine if everyone in a Bible talk combines their zeal to become like a disciple-making machine. Right? More souls can be saved. That's why this whole section is known as the Jethro Principle. Right? So who's part of this team? It says, men and women who what? Fear God, verse 21. Trustworthy and what? Hate dishonest gain.
Amen.
Men and women of integrity.
Yes.
They don't just make disciples so they can just put it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're not making converts, we're making disciples.
Yes.
We're not just giving information, we're calling people to repent. Amen. Are you with me right there?
Amen.
You gotta hate dishonest gain. It's not just about you, it's about pleasing God.
Amen.
Right? And that's why, as we discuss leadership, you got to keep in mind, this is for us, family. Every single one of you in this room should desire to be a Bible talk leader.
Amen.
Is that what you desire?
Amen.
Ah, got you. I don't think it's because of the food sitting in your stomach. I don't think every one of you thinks, I desire to lead a small group of people to come to know God. And you know what? If we don't get that here tonight, this city has no chance.
Come on, Andrew.
If we don't understand that each one of you guys need to have a conviction, God can use me to lead a little mission team to my neighborhood, that people will never come out to church here in Rosebank, but they'll come out to Edenvale.
Come on.
Are you with me here? They'll come out in Midrand. They'll come out in Bedford. They'll come out because you're showing them the love of Christ. So now, as we do this, and again, the issue is, and I think some of you think, oh man, God can't use me. David was a murderer, right? Noah was a drunk, right? Who was a stutterer? Moses was a stutterer, right? That's why he had Aaron. Guys, God can use you. It's not a matter of your capability, it's about your availability.
Oh, wow.
You've got to make yourself available to be used by God, available to be trained. And if you truly become a great follower, you'll become a great leader. So let's talk about some expectations, and then Patrick's going to get in here.
Amen.
All right. So expectations for a Bible talk leader. Number one, you got to check your heart. We're going to look at some, we're going to talk about the heart, the attitudes, and then Patrick's going to break down some key actions you need to have. Okay? So take a look over in Matthew 22. What is the heart for a Bible talk leader? Right? And if you don't have this heart, you can't do it. Or you'll just be a hired hand that doesn't really care. And when the wolf comes, you let him come in.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Amen.
Matthew 22. Let's see what the Bible says here. In verse 37, the Bible reads, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with some of your heart.
No.
It says all your heart. You can't be half-hearted. You got to be all in. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as
yourself.
Yourself? Let's be honest, guys. Let's be honest. When's the last time you meditated on that? Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You know, our brother Corey Blackwell used to say, love God and love people. Right? It's a lot easier said than done, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you got to get rid of all distractions. You really got to be, we're part of the sold out movement. Mm-hmm. But are you really sold out in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just kind of just going through the motions because you know this is what you need to do? Imagine if I had just went through the motions for Valentine's Day. Here's your roses. You want to go out for a date? Okay. You want to go out for dinner? Okay. Does that, I'm taking you out. You should be happy, right? Yikes. How do you think God feels when we treat him like that?
Wow.
Right? And I think one of the key things about the heart here, we got to check our heart on, is it's a decision to love when it's hard.
Yes.
It takes a mature character to love.
Yes.
And you don't really know how mature you are until you get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you find out what your emotional IQ is. Because immature people take sin personally.
Mm-hmm.
You hurt me. Like a child start having a temper tantrum, right? And then they run away when others don't cooperate. A Bible talk leader can't take sin personally. You gotta have a maturity. Like, listen, it's not about me. It's about you and God. And I'm not going to allow you to make me sin by getting frustrated, by getting angry with you. No. I ain't going to hell for you.
Amen.
Are you with me here?
Yeah. Come on, Andrew.
That's the heart we got to have. Now, let's check our attitudes. Turn over to Luke 17. I'm coming. All right, Luke 17. Do you have the heart of a Bible talk leader? Right? Are you truly sold out, ready to love completely? Let's check our attitudes. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 10. Let's see what the Bible says here. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. It says here, verse 10, it says, so also, when you have done everything you were told to do, you should say, man, you should be praising my name. You should be putting me on Facebook and telling me all about how awesome I am. That's not what the Bible says. It says, so also when you've done everything you are told to do, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. When I was appointed an evangelist in the kingdom of God in 2005, I read this scripture. Because I realized I am an unworthy servant. I am just doing my duty. I don't deserve to serve God's people. Is that the way you feel? Because sometimes, let's be honest, you could lead a group, be like, at first you're like, woo, yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to take this neighborhood. And then you start dealing with attitudes and issues, and you're like, man, why I got to deal with all these people? Then you start getting attitudes.
Yeah.
You start getting their attitudes on you. Because you become emotionally immature. You stop loving completely. Are you truly grateful, or are you a great fool? That is the heart of humility.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen.
Now we're going to get into the fun stuff and practicals. The action.
All right.
How do we lead a successful Bible talk? Number one, you got to take total responsibility for your Bible talk.
Yes.
Your Bible talk is based on you. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 11.
Right.
You got to take total responsibility for it. You can't complain about, oh, so-and-so did so-and-so and she did so-and-so. No, it's your Bible talk. You're the leader.
That's right.
The buck stops with you.
Yeah,
you with me here? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. The Bible reads, Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth here. He says, besides everything else, I face what? Oh, I'm waiting for you. I ain't going to move on until you're there. No, we're a mission team. We go together. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. What does the Bible say here? Take total responsibility for your Bible talk. It says, verse 28, besides everything else, I face weekly?
Daily.
Daily. The pressure of my concern for all the churches. Guys, Paul felt concern, right? Our Bible talk is like our little church, right? This is our family that God has entrusted to us. And you have to ask yourself, wow, am I really looking at it like, man, how can I grow, how can I build this Bible talk today? Are you with me here?
Yep.
And so this is huge. Some of the ways you have to think about this, for example, if, you know, one of the reasons why we, when we have accountability, we talk about, well, who came to Bible talk? Mm-hmm. Did all the people in your Bible talk come to Bible talk? Well, did all your people actually attend Bible talk? Right. So here's the thing. If all your disciples are not there, right, you've got to ask yourself, am I doing something wrong? Did I not communicate effectively? Right? This is huge.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see everyone.
Amen.
And I, you know, praise God for a women's Bible talk.
Yes.
It's amazing when we get to be used by God in that way. And I wanted to share, you know, some of the practicals that I've learned leading women's Bible talks, but also co-leading with Andrew and also other brothers before we got married. But, you know, one of the things that I found to be really helpful is calling that night, the night of Bible talk, to see why a disciple missed. You know, I think a lot of times we can assume she must be in sin. She must have done this, but it's not always the case.
That's right.
And we can't make assumptions. We got to think the best.
That's
and then
right.
deal with whatever we're faced with, right? And so I would call that night if it's appropriate. Sometimes we stay late for Bible talk to have Bible studies or to fellowship or to disciple someone. So if it's 11 o'clock, it's probably not the best time to call a sister to talk about something that could take an hour because you both need to get your rest. Right, sisters?
Amen.
I would also ask at least one other disciple in the Bible talk to call to see why that person missed. It could be your assistant Bible talk leader. It can be their discipler or someone who's close to them, even if they're not in the Bible talk, because sometimes people are struggling and we need to find that person that they can hear. Amen. You know, we also need to have a plan to disciple the sister who missed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't just hear why they miss and just think, I'm so done discipling you. We shouldn't get to that place.
Come on.
You know, we have to have a plan to draw them out and teach them. It could be a scheduling issue. Some people, they really want to come. They just have a really poor ability to schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They need a lot of help. Sometimes it's finances, and sometimes there's just pride there. Someone doesn't want to ask for help, or it's sin. Just whatever it is, we need to be ready to disciple. But something that I find to be helpful is messaging all the disciples a few days before Bible talk to confirm that they're going to be there.
100%.
Like they need to understand, if you're gonna miss, you should tell me before
100%.
You miss, not like after 2 days later. Amen.
Amen. We're gonna bounce back and forth here. Awesome. Now this is huge because again, if disciples aren't there, it's like your mission team isn't there. Like what's going on? Are you with me here? And one of the things I always do too is I send out, hey guys, this is the Bible talk topic for tonight. So they can share that with people that they're reaching out to. Right, it gets them fired up. Otherwise, they're like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Right? And they should probably be asking too. All right, here's another key practical. If there is a low visitor count, like you come to Bible talk and it's the same one or two people that come out every time, right? Instead of saying, you guys didn't share your faith, right? The question is, did you share your faith? See, for me, when it comes to Bible talk, I always know there's going to be at least one visitor. He's going to be mine. And Patrick's. So we're always going to have at least two visitors at our Bible talk. Are you with me here?
Amen.
That's the way you should think. There should be no Bible talk where there's no one there. Things will happen from time to time, but usually it's pretty rare, right? Because that's what you're doing. You're working to make it special,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if there's a low visitor count, you have to ask yourself, well, I followed up with people.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like my visitors are always coming out. Maybe I'm just not inspiring. Or maybe I'm not motivating enough.
Mm-hmm.
See, you have to ask yourself, like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Jake's gonna share.
You know, another great question that I ask myself is, you know, when do we start to get visitors out to Bible talk? You know, I've always struggled when I went to those Bible talks where the time to evangelize was right before the Bible talk, and that was it. And I'm like, I mean, we can catch people, but we're asking people to change their schedule when they already have a hard time doing that. We're asking them to do it last minute. We should do that because we'll get people.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be when we start getting visitors. So, you know, when I started getting visitors for Bible Talk, the day of Bible Talk,
okay,
the people who come out, we need to ask them, are you coming to the next Bible Talk?
Exactly.
You know, we got to help them see this is something we do every week. The lesson next week is going to be even more exciting than the lesson this week. You know, we need to, another thing that, you know, I do is I go around and I get the numbers of all the guests, as many as possible. Sometimes we can't because we may get into that lock-based conversation with one visitor who's having some issues, or they just want to get open. But, you know, we need to touch as many people as possible,
exactly.
Sisters. When we go to a Bible Talk, we need to touch as many people as possible. Because, you know, we're the Bible Talk leader for a reason.
Right.
You know, we're there. We're relationship builders. We know how to draw out people's hearts. You know, and we need to make sure that all the sisters in the Bible Talk are thinking this way. Because we can't be the only ones while the sisters are sitting down, like, you know, just fellowshipping with each other or checking their phones or making a nail appointment for the next day. You know, we all need to be involved, right? And this way, we'll get everyone's numbers. We also need to make sure that, you know, we set a hangout time or a Bible study with each person who comes out. Some people, they might not commit to a time, but I like to make sure I'm like, okay, I know my schedule. I know the schedules of the women in the Bible Talk. And I ask, okay, so when are you free?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not free, I already know people's schedule. I'm like, oh, Ariel's free.
Right.
Ariel, come here. Can you meet so-and-so? So that we can set up that time because it doesn't begin or end with us. We work together as a team. And we also, you know, when it comes to getting visitors, one of the things that has really helped is start evangelizing the next day. Like every day we need to work to get visitors out to Bible Talk, sisters. You know, whether it's as a group, in pairs, or just when you're in your own life. Like, you know, if I'm standing in the grocery line, especially at Woolworth, that line is like, it wraps around. It's like a little puzzle. It's like a little, yeah. It's like a little maze, right? And I'm like, you are going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You are as stuck as me, wondering why they don't have more cashiers.
Yeah.
But you know why? It's so God's giving me more time to reach out to
come
you so
on,
that we can have a conversation. You know, but we really need to do that. Another thing that really helped me, we had a Bible Talk in Los Angeles. Tina was a part of that Bible Talk. It was a women's Bible Talk. And at one of the Bible Talks, we had a man come, and we thought, you know what? We're not going to put him out. We'll let him stay. Let him eat some food. If he wants to stay for a lesson, praise the Lord. Amen. But, you know, one of the things that helped was we put flyers up. Now, here in Johannesburg, it's a little different. In the U.S., you can actually go into apartment complexes. But there are a lot of establishments, a lot of businesses like Starbucks. They have message boards. You can ask the manager, can I put my flyer up on your message board? Mm-hmm. You know, I would make my own invites when I would go to Bible Talks. I'm like, I need to be able to hand things out.
Yeah.
And if people will let you do it, do it. And I know that Josh is working on our meetup, and we're going to be able to get that meetup out there. And, you know, we can check our boards and make sure that we're getting to people. And I would also message all the disciples in the Bible Talk, all the sisters, a few days before to confirm who are your visitors. Because sometimes if you don't do that, the sisters aren't thinking about their visitors. You know, people can be struggling with so many things that they're just not thinking. They need to know a few days before who their visitors are for Bible Talk, not the day of.
Exactly.
Sometimes it works out that way, but it shouldn't always be that way.
Amen. Come on, baby. Awesome. And so we've talked about, and again, what's the title here? Made into a Watchman. If you're a Bible Talk leader and you're not watching for this, then you're not going to realize it. So, for example, if you're not a watchman, you're not realizing, oh, all my disciples are not there.
No.
If you're not a watchman, you're not realizing, oh, we have a low visitor count.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not watching for that.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Another key aspect of really taking total responsibility for the Bible Talk is, are you watching if the Bible Talk is discouraged? Because sometimes, let's just be honest, even the best disciple can walk into Bible Talk and they're just discouraged. It's the drama of life. You know, they've been fighting traffic, fighting their bosses, fighting family, fighting whatever. And they just walk in kind of discouraged, you know? And that's where you got to watch for that and be able now to be encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for all of us, like, you know, when we come to church, when we come to Bible Talk, we don't come in and just like, like, woe is me, pity party. Again, that's emotional immaturity.
Right.
Because it's a lack of love because you're not coming to give.
Yeah.
You're coming to take.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're coming to be a leech.
Mm.
Wow.
I'm hurting, so you need to feed me. Feed me, Seymour, feed me. Mm. That's what you're coming in as.
Mm.
And I think that's where, you know, as a leader, you've got to take the responsibility that when others are down, you've got to give.
Yeah.
And maybe you need to go pray. Mm-hmm. There are many times where I remember coming home and I'm like, man, it's been a long day. And now I got to come home and I got to be ready to give to my family. But I'm tired. And sometimes I remember even when I was in LA, there were times, man, I was doing so much stuff. I remember being right outside the door or Lagos. And I'll just pray. I just took a little 15, 20 seconds. And then I opened the door. Daddy, 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 daddy. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready to give. Maybe you guys can relate.
Come on.
But you got to be fired up even if the visitor count is low. You can't be like, oh, the business. Ah, man, y'all only brought 1 to 2 visitors. All right, turn to Matthew 5. What is that about? You don't do that, right? And you got to encourage people to really focus on God. Amen?
Amen. You know, something that helps me when the sisters are struggling is, you know, sometimes during the Bible talk, you can't really have those deep conversations with the right. sisters. You're trying to reach out to the visitors. But, you know, what I would do is once a month I would have a discipling group. I'd have the sisters over to our home. And sometimes I have them with the kids and they get to bond. You know, when we have families, it's really special when God yeah. blesses us with amazing husbands and we have that family unit. And then when God gives you children, it's something really special because in the kingdom, we learn to have true families that people in the world are just blown away by.
Right.
And so, you know, I get to bring the sisters into our home. And I remember asking one sister to help me get the kids ready. And she had told me that she had never read a story to a child before.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you know, we're able to bring people into our families. And it helps the women to trust me, helps them to feel a bond because they're in our kids' bedroom. I mean, that's a personal place in somebody's house. And so there's a bond. And so, but other times I would invite them over after the kids went to bed because sometimes you need to focus, okay. you know, just focus on people who are there. And what we would do is we'd have food. Food is always great.
Food is
Everybody
great.
Loves food. Everybody gets there early, right? Because they want to make sure they get
yes.
a piece of good piece of
we'll
chicken.
Talk about that.
And then, you know, and then we'd have a game or a bonding activity. And it just really helped us to, you know, let our hair down, have fun with each other. And then I would have one area, one or two scriptures that I would share with the sisters to disciple something. You know, and usually the scripture was about unity because you could hit up a lot of things.
Yeah,
unity,
talk about it.
You know, and I really appreciated doing that, especially when we were in Lagos. It was really important.
Amen. All right. So we're going to have a little over 10 minutes here to finish up. Now, we've talked about, number one, takes total responsibility for a Bible talk. So how do we do that? We got to check and be a watchman for, are the disciples there, right? What's the visitor count like? How can we be more inspiring, more motivating? Is the Bible talk encouraged or are they discouraged? Mm-hmm. Are you with me here?
Come on.
You're like a little minister right there for your Bible talk. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So if they're not united, you got to build them up. You got to get involved in helping each other. There are times where people got issues within the Bible talk.
Yeah.
And you can't let those little group issues, faction, discord go on.
Yeah.
You got to deal with it. Right? And so that these things are very, very important. All right. Now, number two, we talked about taking total responsibility for the Bible talk. Number two, this is a big one, and you're going to see this tonight, I'm sure, with the Bible talk skit. You got to lead Bible talks with passion and intensity. And you got to be a part of the Bible talk with passion and intensity. You know, what if we came up here tonight and said, hi, it's good to have you here tonight. You're very welcome. So we're going to have a good year, and it's going to be great. Can you imagine? You'll be asleep in 10 minutes, right? But you got to grab people. You have to be dynamic. You know, dynamis, explosion.
Mm-hmm.
In the land, that's where you need to be. When take a look in Colossians 1. I'll show you.
Come on, Andrew.
Colossians 1. All right, got to.
Come on, Andrew.
The Bible says here, Colossians 1, verse 28.
Come on, Brad.
You should know the scripture by heart. You shouldn't have to turn there. Colossians 1, 28. It says, we what? We get there. We what?
Proclaim.
We proclaim him. Thank you. I was waiting. Good night. I was giving you all this time. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, we what? Proclaim him.
Amen.
Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so we may present everyone perfect in Christ.
Amen.
Is your Bible talk a proclamation?
Come on.
Or a dirge? You know what I mean? Is it like, hi, welcome, right? Like people should feel, man, gosh, I wish my friend was here to hear this.
Yeah.
Even the disciples should, after Bible talk, should be like, man, I wish my visitor had come on out. And you should be like, man, I said, I told you to come out. It was awesome. That's what people should feel after your Bible talk.
Yes. And you know, as a sister, assisting a brother with a Bible talk, we should look excited at Bible talk.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes your male counterpart, his lesson might not be as exciting as you were hoping for. You know, I hear that sometimes. I know nobody, no
I'm
Bible
sure
talk leader
no
in this room struggles with
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah.
But you know, but we can't act like, not the same. This the same question you asked 2 minutes. You don't think they heard you?
Yeah.
We can't get a bad attitude, right?
Yeah.
But you know, also as a Bible, because you know, you know what it feels like when you lead a Bible talk. You know, when I've led women's Bible talks, you know, I go in, I have energy, I take time to craft my lesson, because I'm like, I need to put energy into this. God is looking to me to help these women and give them a lesson or share something that's going to move their hearts.
Yeah.
I also make sure that my questions are understandable. Sometimes we can ask, you know, long questions, sisters, during our Bible talks, and people don't understand. People ask you, can you say that question again? Then you know that you probably need to change how you ask questions. And the questions need to invoke something in their heart. It needs to stir the heart.
Yes.
It can't be these really flat, you know, surfacey questions like, so, did you guys like what John said? Good. Let's look at the next scripture. And the other thing, the other practical that really helped me is to remember that, you know, sisters, when we lead Bible talks, we're Oprah. We're not the professor.
Mm-hmm.
We're Oprah. We're there to facilitate conversation.
Yes.
And so we should teach, but we should let people speak more.
Amen.
Amen. Facilitate the conversation. And then also the last thing is knowing how to handle tough questions. Sometimes you have that antagonistic, you know, spawn of Satan that comes out to your Bible talk, and they want to start a fight, and they want to ask you, I heard that you guys have been persecuted on this site, and it's just crazy what can happen, but we can't get caught up, right? And even when we're assisting a Bible talk, we can't, like, you know, want to fight for the brother or fight. We've got to know how to move the discussion along and not focus on questions that are totally off topic.
Amen. Awesome, babe.
Amen.
All right. So, last 5 minutes here. Let's see. I am going to give you guys. No, I can't give you all. All right. So, key thing number three. So, number one was what? You got to take total responsibility for your Bible talk. Number two, you got to lead exciting Bible talks with passion and intensity. And when I say not just leading it, whoever's in the Bible talk needs to be fired up.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that's clear. It can't just be the Bible talk leader.
That's right.
Everyone in the group has got to be like on the edge of your seat. Because if one guy's leading and other people are like checking their phones, and I'm a guest, I'm like, this dude doesn't want to be here. So this obviously can't be that interesting or that important.
Yeah.
Moving on here. You can write this down. You got to make sure, as I said, you got to be a watchman for how people are doing in your group. You know, you got to know what's going on. Hebrews 3, verse 12 says, see to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. I think this is encouraging because, you know, at the Bible talk leader level, usually discipling is done within the Bible talk. Sometimes it may have more of a matrix thing if necessary. But in a sense, the Bible talk leader is the watchman to make sure that people are actually getting discipled and they're doing okay.
Yeah.
And where you can say, even if you don't disciple someone, you can talk to the disciple and say, bro, you need to follow up with that guy because he's struggling, man.
Yeah.
Or sis, you need to struggle up. They're not doing well. Are you the watchman for your Bible talk?
Come on.
Are you with me here? It's not like, well, he's discipled by so-and-so, so let him handle it. Do you get what I'm saying here? If you're not thinking that way, then you're not being a watchman. Okay. And then number four, you gotta love the lost. Luke 19:10 says Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. And so one of the key things, and we don't want to get too much into other practicals, because you're gonna have some more of this coming up later. But you do have to ask yourself, are you really trying to inspire people to Jesus and not just to you?
Oh, wow.
This is important because a lot of people go to church to follow personalities. And so when the personality disappoints them, or when the personality shows themselves to be a sinner, they walk away from God.
Yeah.
Are you with me here? Are you really pointing people to Jesus and making Jesus their hero?
Yeah.
Making your Bible study just excited to pray together, excited to get into the Word together? Or are you just trying to win them to you? Because if you're not around, what are they going to do? Are you with me here?
Right.
And so this is huge. And obviously some of the folks later are going to be talking about this, but you have to really determine who's open early. You got to be detailed after every study and have great talks. Yeah. Because I see it as the Bible talk is really a time where you've cracked open the door to their heart. Yeah. And if you don't get in there quickly, what's going to happen? It's going to close right back up.
Yeah.
So if you don't set up that Bible study, you've just wasted an opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's like the Bible talk has just been wasted. Mm-hmm. So make sure you set up Bible studies right afterwards. Amen. The last thing, two things I'll bring up to you here is number five, you got to love the kingdom enough to look for the next leader in your Bible talk. Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 2:2 says what? Entrust a reliable man who'll be qualified to teach others, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a Bible talk leader in this room, you should be looking for who's your assistant going to be. Mm-hmm. More than just because, oh, I want someone to take care of things when I'm out of town. You want to raise up the next Bible talk leader because someone's got to lead a Bible talk in the city next to you.
Yeah.
Do you really have that vision for people? Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah, so for the sisters, one of the ways that I would raise up assistant Bible talk leaders, the first responsibility I would give is the food. And a lot of times we think, oh, that's not that important. There's just a little task. But actually, it tells you a lot about someone's character. It tells you whether or not the sister plans well. It tells you whether or not she's thorough, how well she communicates on who's going to bring what, or if you're meeting at a restaurant, who's collecting money, how much money are people getting. It also helps you see if she's not very clean or sanitary.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, the sister's putting out dirty forks. There's a lot more that's dirty behind the scenes so that you can disciple, right? It also tells you how she handles conflict. When someone brings olives instead of potato chips, you need to talk to them. The olives aren't doing anything. Like, we talked about this. No olives, right? But we need to be able to deal with conflict resolution. And you know, you don't need to have a Bible talk in your home to prepare for food. When we meet out, one of the things that I do is I make sure that we have a plan. You know, when we met in Lagos, we would collect money. I knew what was on the menu, and I knew what we could afford because we couldn't afford a lot. And I knew that I would have to put more money in. And so we have to be ready to give and serve in that way.
Amen. You know, one of the things about raising up those leaders is, you know, you're multiplying converters.
Yeah.
Are you the only person that can lead an effective, like, lead all the way through the series?
Yeah.
Or are you raising up more converters and watching them and training them? The last thing, guys, is just remembering, in order to be a watchman, again, number one is what? You got to take total responsibility for your Bible talk. Number two, lead exciting Bible talks. You got to, number three, you got to love the brothers and sisters to really see to it you know what's going on, Hebrews 3:12. You got to love the lost enough to really stay in there and make sure Jesus is their hero.
Yes.
And then number five, you got to love the kingdom enough to look for that next leader, 2 Timothy 2:2, that you're going to raise on up so you can really multiply converters. The last thing is we just got to rely on God.
Amen.
Because you know what? At the end of the day, what we're doing is the most difficult thing on earth to do.
Yeah.
We're trying to inspire people to see a God that they cannot physically see.
Yeah.
And lead people using the word of God. The world uses money. They use all types of perks to get people to follow them.
Yeah.
We use the power of the Holy Spirit and his word.
Amen.
It is the most remarkable thing we can do, guys. I'll leave you with this in John 4, verse 34. In John 4, 34, just sticking to time. We started 3 minutes late, so we're doing good. Amen. John 3, it says here in, 4, verse 34, it says, John 4, verse 34. The Bible reads, "My food," said Jesus. And you got to ask yourself, well, what are you eating? And what sustains you? "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Mm-hmm. Is that what sustains you? Do you not say, 4 months more, and then the harvest. 4 months more, and then I'll be fruitful.
Mm.
No. You can be fruitful now. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. The harvest was ripe in Lagos. The harvest is ripe in Johannesburg. The harvest is ripe. You need to believe it.
Right.
Are you with me, fam?
Amen.
And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do this year. You know, there's this quote I'll close with here. It says, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader."
Amen.
Amen. Let's become great watchmen and therefore great leaders as we watch God do even greater things here in Joburg. Amen, family. We love you with all of our hearts. So, man, right on time too. So now we're gonna take, we're gonna have our Bible talk. We're gonna take a very, very short break.
Oh, sorry, forgive me. We're gonna take a short break.